We started out with talking about mind, body, and consciousness. And since then, we touched upon the law of karma. And we talked a little bit about Brahma Chakra. We talked about Sancha and Pratisancha. And we talked about evolution of the mind, evolution of the body. And we talked about clear reflection of consciousness emerging in the evolution along the pratisanchar dhara, the flow of returning flow back to Paramapurusha. So this was the key element, clear reflection of consciousness. This universe, as we talked about, has two flows. One is a flow of creation. We call that Sanchar Dhara. Dhara means flow. Sanchar is a creation, flow of creation. The universe came out of Parampurush. And universe was created by Parampurush using his own force called Prakriti. And this universe was created by Parampurush from his own body. And the returning flow is called Pratisanchar. So together, Sanchar and Pratisanchar is called Brahma Chakra. That is the eternal flow of creation and submerging back into Parampurush, into God. And we are moving along this Pratisanchar cycle. Our life is Pratisanchar. We are moving along the Pratisanchar Dhara. And if you recall, I said that Pratisanchar Dhara, Pratisanchar flow is propelled by Vidyamaya, the force of attraction toward Parampurush. So force of attraction Vidyamaya propels the movement toward Parampurush in the Pratisanchar Dhara. And as the created beings move along the Pratisanchar Dhara and further up they reach, the faster they move. The further up they go, the speed accelerates. The movement, speed of movement is not constant. Speed of movement is very slow in the beginning, and as it reaches certain level of consciousness, then it accelerates its movement towards God. And along the path, what happens is that what we call deeper and deeper reflection of consciousness occurs. This is the key element I want to talk about. Clear reflection of consciousness is the word I will use again and again. And what it refers to, what it is saying, is that along the Pratisanchar Dhara, the consciousness becomes more and more dominating factor. And we are controlled more and more by our strength of consciousness. Consciousness becomes more concentrated. Now, we said that in Pratisanchar Dhara, what happens is that everything is attracted in moving forward. For example, creation begins from, primitive plants. Even before that, algae and then from that primitive plant and from that unicellular organism and moving forward and forward. Ultimately, we talked about human existence about 1 million years ago, which was a transition from animal being to human being. Occurred about 1 million years ago. And if you recall, I said that the key driving force of that psychic evolution was the question that arose in the mind as to who am I and where have I come from? This is the ultimate question that propelled the what we have today, human being, human consciousness, as opposed to animal consciousness. We say that human being are called human, man, manushya, manav, because they are mind-centered being. Mind plays a dominant role. In animal, the body needs, bodily needs plays the dominant role of animal life. But in human life, mind plays the dominant role. Animals are satisfied by the primitive longings, food, sleep, procreation, fear. These are the driving forces of animal life. Once those animal receives that, then animal is satisfied, doesn't need any more than that. Human being needs a lot more than that, because human being is a mind dominating. Mind plays a dominant role, and bodily needs being satisfied is not enough for human being. So psychic revolution, psychic evolution proceeds, what happens? We say that the greater and greater number of propensities are created within the beings. We have many more complex and much greater number of propensities than chimpanzee or tiger or lion or primitive life force. And all of that moves along with greater and greater reflection of the consciousness. I also said last time that there is no such thing as a cruel tiger or cruel lion or bad dog or bad bird or good bird. All animals are moving toward Paramapurusha under the influence of Vidyamaya. Whereas at human stage, reflection of consciousness is concentrated enough where human being knows what is right from wrong. And this discriminating faculty is called viveka in Sanskrit. This discriminating faculty results into accelerated movement toward Paramapurusha. Now, human being evolved from animal being, and we say that upon death, mind separates from the body and continues its sanskara. Mind does not die with the body. Upon death, mind carries with it its propensities, its sanskara, and takes the birth in a new form and continues to express those sanskara. So, at human stage, there is a whole range of human beings. Certain human beings, suppose, may have come just from a animal life. And some human beings, suppose, may have been there for thousands of lifetimes, again and again, moving toward higher and higher human stage. So you have this vast spectrum of people, human beings. One that are much more divine, and one that are very cruel. One that are in human form, but they are mentally, they are very much like animal. So, and that is not to say anything negative about those people, but they have just evolved from animal life. And because they have just evolved from animal life, they are carrying all those sanskaras, all those vibration, all those mental momentum toward animal desire. And so even though they are in human body, and you know, they are still dominated by animal instincts. On the other hand, you may have a very highly evolved being and would have very little attraction for this worldly things, material thing. Animal desires may be minimum in them, you know? So you have this whole spectrum of people depending on how much is the reflection of consciousness in each being. So, and all of us are dominated by animal desire. They are part of our, they are necessary. Those those elements are necessary for the survival of our life. We need food, we need sleep. The fear also acts as a preservation for us. So, in procreation, all of these things are part of our life and they are a necessary part of our life. But at the same time, clear reflection of consciousness, discriminating faculty, as I said, viveka, means to know that these are my necessities of life, but my goal, my purpose is Param Purush, my goal is God, and greater reflection of consciousness. How do I do that? How do I move in that direction? If you remember, I mentioned last time that for us to move along this spiritual journey, to accelerate this spiritual journey, we have to do, we talked about, last time we talked about laws of karma, right? Law of karma. And we said that the ideal action was what? The ideal action was, ideal karma was a karma action that propelled us in the direction of consciousness. And while moving toward the consciousness, while moving our action, guiding our action by consciousness, moving in that direction, what do? We, along the journey, we also follow the laws of Prakriti. Without violating the laws of Prakriti, if you move toward Supreme Consciousness, then your journey will be the fastest. So, best karmas are those type of karmas. Now, what happens is that because of this animal desire within us, and at the same time, greater degree of reflection of consciousness, and viveka and discriminating faculty, there is an inner struggle inside us. You know, when animal being dominates, we want to move toward crude pleasures. When we are awakened that no, Supreme Consciousness is my purpose and goal, what happens? We want to overcome those animal instincts and move toward Param Purush. So there is a constant struggle, and there is a constant requirement for us to make decision, a rational decision, wise decision. Decision that are good for our spiritual development. This is a constant demand on us. Animals don't have to worry. They don't, it is not part of their being. They don't have to worry about karma. It is something that is not part of their consciousness. So, along this movement, this clear reflection of consciousness, as it dominates, what happens is that our journey becomes closer and closer, faster and faster toward Supreme Consciousness. And that's what the meditation, that's the purpose and reason for doing meditation, is to consciously, purposefully, actively drive and move our mind toward Supreme Consciousness. And through meditation, we deal with the instinct and sanskaras that come up during our meditation. And we deal with them. Through meditation, knowledge arises within us. Greater and stronger spiritual feelings develop within us. We come to realize the limitation of material life. And we make wiser decisions. Now, As a clear reflection of consciousness develops, also there is a greater hunger developed. And human being is not easily satisfied. If you give food to the animal, animal will eat till it's satisfied. Stomach is full. No more. Human being will think about what I will do, save it for tomorrow, put it in refrigerator, freeze it for next month. Right? So, human being is not easily satisfied. And in some sense, we, material life in material pleasures and attractions of material objects, they are almost like addiction. They are not almost, they are the addiction. Like an alcohol or like a drug. You know, the more you take, the more you need in order to get the same degree of pleasure. In order to create the same effect, you need more and more. And the more you take, the more becomes the need. Materialism is like that. You know, for example, money, power, anything, ego, sex, all these things, the more you engage in it, the more you need in order to derive the same amount of pleasure, almost like an addiction. People say that, human beings are, so bad. The animals satisfy. Human beings are so greedy, and this is a cause of all their sufferings and unhappiness. Whereas animals are better. They have no greed, and they are so satisfied in their life. I do not agree with this thing. What we call greed is actually the desire to know. It's a subconscious desire to know Param Purush, to know Supreme Consciousness. It is a desire to quench the thirst. But human being believes that that desire will be quenched by having more money, by having more power, by having more respect and recognition, and all these things will satisfy my mind. I'll be very happy. But unfortunately, as I said, that the more you get it, the more you need to derive the same amount of pleasure. And so ultimately, we get defeated trying to get the happiness through material object, because material objects can only give us limited pleasure, whether it's a $1 million or $1. It will give a limited pleasure. $1 will give $1 worth of pleasure. But whatever it is limited. $1 million will give you $1 million worth of pleasure, but that's limited. As soon as $1 pleasure is achieved, you will want $5 pleasure. Once you have that, then you want $20 pleasure. It's no different than when you have $1 million pleasure, then you will have $10 million pleasure. So there is no difference whatsoever in it. It's the basic nature of human mind that it is not satisfied. It needs more, and the more it gets, the more it needs. And actually, what it is doing is looking for permanent peace, permanent happiness. It's looking for that. And laws of Prakriti, as I think I mentioned last time, we were talking about the laws of karma, that laws of Prakriti are designed to help us correct our journey so that we move in the right direction. Laws of Prakriti, law of karma is infallible. If you do bad action, you will have to suffer the consequences. If you do good action, you'll have to suffer the consequences. But Prakriti, through its action, is what? Is constantly correcting our movement and teaching us, telling us that you should move in certain direction. In engineering system, we call it negative feedback systems. Through negative feedback system, you guide your projectile toward the target. Suppose you shoot a rocket or you shoot anything at a particular target. What happens? It doesn't go. You have no way of knowing. But what you do is you set it in certain direction, and then you correct as projectile moves. And this is called negative feedback system. It constantly corrects itself so that it goes toward the target. And so the laws of Prakriti are this negative feedback system designed to propel our mind toward greater degree of consciousness. So we should know that this is really what's going on within us. You know, we should not be frustrated by it. We are all subjected to the same rules. We all go through the same thing in our life. You know, there is a bhajan by Kabir, a great saint. You know, he says that, and it is our experience in our life too, that we're all, when we are young, we seek our pleasure in game and playing. You know, we go out, play, we feel elated. As we grow up, we get married, we have family, wife and children, and we are preoccupied in that. When we grow older, we start thinking about spiritual life. And so, you know, by the time you start thinking about spiritual life, you are 40, 50, 60 years old. Mind and body has become too weak to focus, to concentrate, you know. This is the sad irony of human life, that they wait too long to move towards Supreme Consciousness because they are so attracted by material objects and material pleasures, and they are blinded by these things that misguides their purpose in life. So meditation, once again, is a discipline, it's a wisdom, and it also has its specific process, which has been developed over thousands of years in order for it to create certain, you know, evolution of our being. And that is why we practice meditation. At the same time, in our meditation, we realize that we cannot deny life. We have to accept the life as it is. We should not be frustrated. We should not look down upon ourselves or anybody else. And we should accept that this is a journey of life, that nobody is sinner, nobody is evil, nobody is perfect, that everybody is at a different level of consciousness, and all in the human form. As long as you have a human form, all can move toward the Supreme Consciousness. And meditation is a process, a system, a very, very great system. If you understand it properly, if you use it properly with proper psychology, proper understanding, proper procedure, and proper visualization, is a fantastic, powerful process to quickly cut through these material bondages, so that, you know, you are able to maintain balance in life. Like I said, that we are not to deny our existence. We are not here to deny animal existence that is also within us. But whatever that animal existence, animal need within us is now and should be guided by our viveka, by our discriminating faculty, and gradually turn it toward Parampurush. All our propensities should be gradually converted toward Parampurush. They should not be blocked, they should not be denied, and we should not look down on anybody, we should not look down on other process, other people and their journey. We should just know our journey and know that everybody is in a different place and moving toward the same thing. Whether or not they like it, everybody has to move. And every human being is also moving in this way. So, clear reflection of consciousness. That's what we've been talking about today.
Question.
Yeah.
What's the Sanskrit word for clear reflection of consciousness that you say?
Well,
Because I'm not able to give you
we
because
can
I'm
say
able to.
spiritual outlook,
Oh,
spiritual
okay.
outlook, spiritual desire, spiritual sentiment, inner sentiment, whereby, you know, the mind is more governed by what we know are spiritual principles. And when mind is more governed by spiritual principles, it is because of condensed, more concentrated reflection of consciousness. And it's a natural process in pratisanchardhara. As you conquer the tamogun of prakriti, and I wanted to avoid some of these things because we have not talked about it, but as you conquer the bondages of prakriti as a natural force, the consciousness becomes stronger, becomes more condensed, and starts playing more dominant role. And that's called clear reflection of consciousness. Everybody is under certain bondages of prakriti, and that's what decides the level of subtlety in a being, subtle vibration of each entity is determined by the type of bondages of prakriti under which that entity is, that vibration is. And the more that entity, more that vibration becomes free from tamoguna, static bondage, the greater will appear the consciousness. Remember, consciousness is present in everything and everybody because everything was created from consciousness. As I mentioned 2 weeks ago, that, you know, as a result of the very essence of creation is, if you believe that creation arose from one supreme consciousness and there was nothing else except supreme consciousness, if that is the premise of creation, then everything that persists today, you know, whether in a visible or non-visible world, is nothing but pure consciousness. Everything came from that, so everything has to be just that. The only thing is that as the dominating effect of prakriti, as it is removed, as the bondages become looser of the prakriti, then that original self becomes more and more vibrant, more and more illuminated. It is there already.
And a question. So, is it that the soul of every living thing has the same strength, and it's only the mind that needs to grow? Because I was thinking a lot about this, and you were saying how there was a time before the development of the universe. So therefore, it was like that time before, there's no time for the cosmic consciousness, right? For God. There's no time. And so therefore, if we're all a piece of God, the cosmic consciousness, then that piece would need to grow. It would just be the mind that needs to grow on the earth. Is that correct?
Right. The thing, though, is that, you know, your question comes from from the point of view where you're trying to understand what is mind and what is consciousness. It's, your question arises because of a lack of clarity on that subject. You see, and actually I was going to talk about that a little bit today. But the consciousness is inherent to our existence. And mind, as mind develops, okay, what is mind, remember? Mind in its primitive, you know, in its primitive stage of mind versus more developed stage of mind, what is the difference? Difference is, what are the bondages on it? Okay, the more developed mind has lesser bondage. It's free. It's free from the bondages of prakriti. Okay, whereas less developed mind is more under the bondages of the prakriti. Okay. So, as a result, consciousness appears, does not shine. Consciousness does not become as apparent. It's there already, but it doesn't become apparent. As the journey, spiritual journey continues, remember I said that because of the force of Vidyamaya, spiritual journey is guaranteed, whether or not you like it. And as a result, consciousness is going to reflect more and more and more. It's an automatic process. As the mind develops, so does consciousness. But consciousness is there already, it simply reflects more.
Mind needs to develop more so that reflection is clearer and clearer.
Right, it's in a purer sense you see it.
Yeah.
Right? As the mind develops, you see consciousness in its purer sense.
Okay.
I'm going to go into that a little bit today also. And we don't have much time, but actually that was going with the next thing. The proper understanding of mind and consciousness is very key to this question. Some religions and some theologies also do not really deal with this issue. In fact, the way they describe consciousness is really still a mind, developed mind, but not pure consciousness. But let me answer this in short, and then I'll go a little bit deeper into that. And all these subjects are connected together, so it's very difficult for me to talk about something when I have not covered some other topic. But I will go ahead and do that anyway, and I'll go back and cover that later. And that is this, that you see, there is a concept of prakriti that I got into a little bit earlier today. Prakriti is a operative principle, and it is a part of consciousness, cosmic consciousness. I know you may be confused a little bit. What is this guy talking, right? I know. I see in your faces. But we haven't talked about it. Okay. So, how can I say this? Mind is, if you understand correctly, mind is nothing but a result of prakriti influencing spirit. And I'm just going to say it, and we'll come back to it later, that when the sattva-guna, or the sentient principle of prakriti, affects and qualifies the consciousness, we have what we call formation of mahat-tattva of the mind that we talked last time. Remember that? We talked about mahat-tattva. How did mahat-tattva and where did it come up? And is it different than spirit? Is it different than consciousness? We talked about aham-tattva. Is it different than mahat-tattva? We talked about chitta. Is it different than aham-tattva? We say that mind is composed of chitta, aham tattva, and mahat tattva. And we said that spirit is a witnessing entity of the mind, right? We talked about all that. Now, are these all these separate pieces within us? Oh, here is a little portion where there is this mahat tattva, here is a little portion, there is aham tattva, there is a little portion, there is chitta, and here is your consciousness, and here is prakriti sitting here like you open up the car engine and you say, well, this is your carburetor and this is your alternator, all these different people. It's not like that. We are one being. And what's happening is this, that prakriti, when it influences consciousness, the sattva guna or the sentient principle of prakriti, when it influences consciousness, you have formation of mahat-tattva. Okay, the subtlest mind. I'll be coming back to that just right now since you asked the question I have to answer. but I'll be coming back to that more. Now, same Mahatattva, when it is influenced by the mutative principle of Prakriti, you have formation of what we call Aham Tattva. And that Aham Tattva, when it is qualified by, when it is affected by, when it is influenced by Tamoguna or the static principle, we have formation of what we call Chitta or the ectoplasm. So the same consciousness appears as a Mahatattva, Aham Tattva and Chitta by the effect of the different principles of Prakriti. You see? Now it's a little bit different than what I told you before. I am now going a little bit more deeper in explaining this. Before, I kind of explained to you like a block diagram of how different things are within us, you know? Here's a consciousness, and here's a Mahatattva, here's a Ahamtattva, this is Chitta, and together, process of perception works in this way. Right? That's what we talked about before. Right? Now what I'm saying is that, let me go a little bit more deeper into that. And what's happening is this, that different I that are within us, we have I which is our Chitta, I which is our Aham Tattva, I which is our Mahatattva, and I which is our Spirit. All of them are I. I know I exist, therefore I see this book. We don't say it like that. We say, I saw the book. But actually what we are saying is that I know I exist, therefore I see this book. But we also say that in fact we are not seeing that book. What we are seeing is the chitta, ectoplasm, which is being witnessed by Aham Tattva, which is knows its existence through Mahat Tattva. So mind operates at a different level. But that level is not, one level is not different from the other. They are constantly different forms, so to say, that are active as a result of the influence of particular qualifying factor of Prakriti. Is that confusing enough or what? Angela, or does that make sense?
Well, can you redefine Prakriti?
Yeah, well, see, that...
Well, no, I mean, just because...
Okay, Prakriti, in short, I can say it's an operative principle. Operative principle means that it's the way, it's like the rules that God made. Let's put it that way. Rules that God made for this creation. God persisted in the purest form. When God persisted, we call that Nirguna Brahma, non-qualified state of consciousness, where there was no desire. It just was supreme perfection, where there was no projection of mind, absolute perfection. And creation cannot occur in that case. Creation cannot exist. For creation to occur, there had to be sanskara. An original sanskara had to be present. This original sanskara of cosmic consciousness was, I want to create. Desire occurred within consciousness to create. This desire, as you know, is a cause of sanskara. Any desire you have causes sanskara. So, Supreme Consciousness's desire to create, this desire became a seed, became a sanskara. Now, this sanskara, as a result of that, Prakriti was then begin to influence. Now, Prakriti is a force of Parampurush. Baba says in Ananda Sutram's Shakti Sa Shivasya Shakti, meaning this Prakriti or his force is part of God. It is not separate. It's like a two side of a paper, inseparable. And this Prakriti is law by which Param Purush operates the universe. It is why Prakriti is called operative principle. In fact, that was also today's topic. It's called operative principle.
Okay.
And it operates with three gunas, three qualifying factors. These three qualifying factors are static principle, mutative principle, and sentient principle. Static principle is called tamo, bondage is called guna. There is a word called guna in Sanskrit, G-U-N-A, guna, means qualifying or something that creates a bondage, binding factor. Guna means binding factor. So Sanskrit word for sentient principle is sattva guna, S-A-T-T-V-A, sattva guna. And the one for rajoguna, the one for mutative principle is called rajoguna, R-A-J-O, guna, mutative principle. And third is static, is called tamoguna, T-A-M-O, tamoguna. And these gunas are in front of us all the time, operational. You know, cruder the object, the more static principle. The subtler the object, more sentient principle. And every object, everything, every being has combination of all these three principles. And those three principles are constantly changing in us also. We have sentient principle, mutative principle, and static principle operating different time of the day, different, you know, time of our life, they are operating in a different way. You know, when we are meditating, sattva guna, sentient principle dominates, right? And we are fighting with somebody, we are overtaken by anger and all of that, you know, greed, guilty complex, all these things, that's when tamoguna of Prakriti is dominating us at that time. So Prakriti is basically, you can say, is a law, it's the way in which the universe works. Law of karma, for example, is an example of how operative principle, how Prakriti works. Balance in life. Prakriti says that keep yourself in balance. If you lose the balance, then you'll pay for it. You know, this is also. And then you have a static balance and dynamic balance. So life is a dynamic balance.
Can I say just one thing to this helped me understand what Prakriti was? It's like, his explanation is great. This is just an idea that might help you with it. It's like you have this perfect thing, decided to create, and then Prakriti was like, took it from like infinite to like that. It's that force that, it's a crudifying force, basically. And so it went from like that and funneled it down. But it funneled it down slowly and in different steps. And it has three kind of like weapons to funnel down. Sentient principle, which is the closest to this, you know. The mutative principle, which is a little bit farther, a little bit more crude. And the static principle, which is the crudest. See? And that's kind of like the way it makes it more crude. So it's, I think of it like as a, when he says operative principle, you know, the way I think about it is like a crudifying thing, thing that makes it more crude. It made it more crude slowly, first with a sentient principle, and then the mutated principle, and then static. Anyway, sorry to you.
So here's an example I was going to get into. You've seen a potter, a guy that, you know, spins the wheel and has a dough of clay and, you know, makes different things out of clay. Makes a lamp, or it can make a statue, or it can make a cup or a glass or saucer or plate or anything, right? So look at that. The job of Prakriti is to create different forms. What does Prakriti do? Prakriti creates various different forms. when Prakriti creates different forms, we also call it Maya. You know the word Maya?